We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WEEI Roundtable.
Can we stop? This is unbelievable.
I can't take it anymore.
I'm Glenn Ordway. I'll push Johnny Most downstairs.
Featuring Greg Dickerson, Rob Bradford, and John Tomasi.
Ball is gone! Grand slam!
The WEEI Roundtable is brought to you by Northeastern University DeMoor McKim School of Business. Now broadcasting from Jake and Joe's in Waltham. The Roundtable on WEEI.
Finally, a couple of guys who can talk about baseball. Finally, some baseball experts between WEEI.com's Rob Bradford and John Tomasi. Hello, boys.
Oh, you're talking about us?
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I think this is a great idea. Fantastic
idea. You love the idea, don't you? Why is that?
Jerry told me privately he thinks it's a great idea as well. He was very, very happy to be here.
Jerry talks a big game on the air, and what a lot of people don't know is that's all just shtick.
Yeah.
Jerry loves talking sports. He's not into all that climate change. He's not into Judge Kavanaugh. Hardcore sports.
He pulled us aside just before the show, and John and I, and we were debating which war you should go with, FanGraphs or Baseball Reference.
Yeah, I'm a fan of F War. Jerry was with me.
Excuse me, I'm gonna grab this steak knife and plunge it into my chest right now.
That was off the air.
All right, okay.
I mean, it was.
We're not doing that on the air.
Not us.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Judge Kavanaugh, Oh no, wait. Do that tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning.
Plenty of Judge Kavanaugh talk from John Tomasi.
I will be. Possibly mentioned.
I tell you this, so nobody does more, this is the honest to God truth, nobody does more show prep for the morning show than John Tomasi.
Wait a minute,
I've done the morning show with him, and I haven't seen that.
When does that occur? The entire day before.
Look at this.
So you got stuff prepped for tomorrow?
Notes, Patriots, you've already got Kavanaugh, credibility.
You've
Trump,
already pulled all that stuff out?
Black Lives Matter. No, this is stuff that I bring in for Jerry every GD week.
It's true.
Lobster Festival. I don't know what that's about.
Where's the one that says Hummers are worse for the environment than Priuses? Do you have that article?
Here's every woman who ever accused Trump of something inappropriate.
Okay. No, that's all fake,
yeah,
though.
Yes, I am prepared.
It's called the Kirk Callahan compartment of your backpack.
And you know what, John? Despite all those papers, despite all that knowledge, he's still going to kick the living crap out of you tomorrow.
It's also where I keep my Bible.
Now, you do know that he's going to beat you down along with Mutt tomorrow, right?
What?
What do you mean? Why were you in last time?
He can yell. It doesn't mean he wins. It
doesn't mean that he's right.
He's
if he yells
not
more
right.
than you.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you
he's
got,
definitely not right.
You got Mutt following him, of course, though.
You're
right.
I like my chances against the two of them. We'll see.
Do you like both of you? That's my segue in.
Yeah.
Do you like the chances of Chris Sale tomorrow? Actually, I want to ask
I do like his chances tomorrow of living.
Of living.
Of breathing. Okay. Of his arm still being intact. I like those
chances. Well, wait a minute, Rob. Alex Cora said today that he is 100% confident.
That was yesterday.
I thought it was today. Was that yesterday? Okay.
Yes.
Well, he said it yesterday.
He thought it again.
100% confident in the health of Chris Sale.
Yes.
I don't want to call Alex Cora a liar, but he's a liar.
Wow. You don't think he's 100% confident?
No.
100% is pretty strong.
Well, no, I don't think he is 100% healthy. I'll put it that way.
Well, I heard Lou say this, and I don't disagree with it. So you basically are throwing for three straight days. He played catch on Monday. He did something under the stands on Tuesday. And then today he threw off a mound. So if you play and catch three straight days, that probably suggests that they're not overly concerned. But I will say this.
Does that mean you're 100% healthy?
No. I will say this, Greg Dickerson. If he comes out and he's throwing 90-92 on Friday, he can pitch. But I do think that whole arm extension thing, that is going to be a byproduct of whatever's going on there. And
overcompensation?
Well, or I don't know.
Or undercompensation. You don't want to extend.
And when asked yesterday, has he had a cortisone shot? Alex Cora said, I don't know. Well, that's hard to believe. That's hard to believe.
So, in other words, so he has had one.
Yeah, then. I mean, which, by the way, I don't begrudge him for having that. I don't know. From what I understand, cortisone is awesome. Cortisone is the best. Everyone who gets a cortisone shot,
it's like magic. It's like all of a sudden.
Have you ever had a cortisone shot?
No, but I've heard other athletes talk about it, and it's all of a sudden
crazy.
Like, it masks the pain.
You can only have, like, what, three of them a year?
In your lifetime before your collagen turns to, like, mush.
Yeah, exactly.
It's I
like getting them in my face.
The collagen
best.
Or the
the cortisone.
The cortisone. You should get the collagen in your
the
face.
Way,
collagen
that'll help. The way it was described to me, I'll get it anywhere. Just give me cortisone. I don't care. But
that could be a problem, you know, Rob.
Whatever it takes.
You might have an issue.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't think a Wakan 180 would help that problem.
Yeah, I saw the list.
Oh, it's clear for Wakan 180.
Yeah.
It's approved.
Yeah, look, okay. Very few carbs and cortisone. So, but I do think that he probably had a cortisone shot, and that he's 100% healthy after the cortisone shot, then go get him.
Yeah, and what does a shot tell you? If you're going even something like that lots of athletes have had, if you're going to that level to do that, all of their talk about the shoulder's fine, we know the shoulder's not fine because he only pitched once, you know, between the end of July and mid-September, but that's just another piece of evidence that this idea that he's going to go out there and be the Chris Sale of May, that is a long shot. A long shot with a capital L.
Well, when's the last time you saw a guy, first of all, lose 8 miles an hour off his fastball because of mechanics? And then all of a sudden, within the next start, you fix the mechanics and you're throwing 8 miles an hour faster. Because that's basically what we're talking about here, right?
Yep.
I mean, he came out of the gate, he was throwing 90. Yeah, he got up to 94. But we've seen him come out of the gate when he's normal this year and throw 97, 98, even in spring training. And people want to say, oh, it's like spring training. No, it's not. I broadcasted his first game in Jupiter, Florida. It was an awesome broadcast, let me tell you.
Oh, I remember it. I taped it. I still have it.
Me, Will Fleming, and Dennis Eckersley sat for three innings.
Rob, please. I remember it like it was yesterday.
It was awesome. And so everyone was saying, oh, he's going to draw back. Remember that narrative? He's going to take it easy.
Yeah, the first couple of weeks of the regular season.
He's going to take it easy.
Sure.
So the first pitch was whatever, and then the second pitch was 97, 98. You can't go out there and not try to throw hard if you throw hard.
The only way they held him back was to just start him later. You know, he wasn't pitching as early
as
he did last
year. But it wasn't like, I'm going to throw with less velocity.
I thought his velocity was down this spring. I mean, last year wasn't his very first pitch 99.
Last
very first pitch of spring training was 99 miles
an hour. So if you go to the average, well, you looked this up the other night on the award-winning Bradford Show podcast.
Yes, I did.
His average.
I was talking about spring training.
Right, but in April it was down, and I said there was a start where, by the way, the Red Sox beat the Celtics in ratings. The first Celtics playoff game.
Yeah.
I know it's going to hurt you.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, go ahead. Please,
right?
I'm listening.
You want that knife again?
I'm all ears, Rob. Yes.
The first Celtics playoff game,
uh-huh.
The Red Sox in a Chris Sale game, it was freezing out. It was like 20 degrees, and the Red Sox beat them in the ratings that day.
Wait a minute. They were probably split broadcast,
though. Yeah, well, no.
On
we
NBC
looked
Sports
it up
Boston
after,
and
no,
TNT,
no. We
right?
We looked it up. We had them together.
Really?
Yeah. They beat them. But I also
that's a shame.
Remember, it
that's
was,
a
it was,
damn shame
it
right
was
there.
Freezing cold, and Chris Sale didn't throw very hard that game. But it was 20 degrees out.
And the other thing is you accept that a guy might start the year slowly and then build up. When you build up and then fall back down, the idea of you coming back up again, that's asking a lot.
Especially with a guy who's got his late season history wearing down.
Yeah, no question.
Do either one of you think there was ever the thought of pitching David Price in game one instead of Sale?
No, because you either start Sale and commit to him as your ace, even if you're crossing your fingers, or we're being interrupted by fans.
She went straight for you, John.
Ma'am, John Tomasi is available for autographs and pictures if you'd like. You can talk to him.
I'll say hello to you.
We don't really need him, Rob.
Wait, I mean, like, she went straight to
Tomasi. Oh, I know she did. I know she did. She didn't give a crap about you or me.
No.
Oh, they had to turn off John's mic because of some of the things that she's saying.
What happened?
That's Rob Bradford.
Guess what?
Yes.
Not a Tomasi fan.
Not
wants
a Tomasi
t-shirt.
Fan.
Wants a t-shirt.
Do I turn off my mic now?
Oh.
This is probably not the best radio ever, but yeah, well, we have people who want t-shirts.
If you're not watching on the television simulcast
right now.
As you said, they're going right. If you're going to trust him.
If you're going to let him pitch at all, it has to be game one, and you have to act like. Because really, what does it tell you if you push him to game two? He needed one more day. No, you go all in on Chris Sale, and you live with the consequences. If he's a three-inning pitcher in game one, guess what? He was going to be a three-inning pitcher in game two also.
I am more concerned with the starting pitcher tomorrow as I am the starting pitcher.
That was very complicated.
What happened there? What was that all about? I'll get back to that question, John. What exactly
Bradshaw
did she say?
She wanted two T-shirts.
And
so I came in here with my Bradshaw Show Boom Sauce T-shirt,
I have one.
Yeah.
This, by the way, Joey Zabrano,
yes.
That rat bleep,
yeah.
Just told me that this is my payment for tonight.
No,
I'm not actually getting money. I'm getting a Boom Sauce T-shirt.
It would not be the first or last. Believe me.
I'll put this up on eBay. See if I can make $10.
Rat. Okay. He's a rat.
There you go. But evidently, some nice ladies over there saw the distribution of T-shirts.
And by the
said,
way,
we want two T-shirts.
Yeah, I heard. All I could hear him say as his mic went off was, "They're out of my car."
Yeah.
I'll meet you out there at 8:01.
So you saw the video that we posted last night where Tangway and Kirk Minahan, we in the parking lot of Border Cafe. I say, hey, you want T-shirts? And Tangway, of course, is yeah.
Well, it's free. Take it up. It's free. Rob, well,
it's a paycheck.
Yeah, it's a paycheck, Rob, you know. Whatever.
Boom Sauce.
Yes. So that was taken there. So I'm in the back of my car, and Kirk goes, this is like a scene out of the movie The Wrestler. Like,
yes.
selling T-shirts on the back of my car.
The ladies that came over, or the young lady that came over,
That's
pretty much your demo.
It's
I think that's good.
Well,
is that, choose one, 24,
the problem,
25, something like that?
The problem was is that I'm happy to distribute the T-shirts, but the deal is you got to take a picture and tweet it out. You know, Lord Hobo Brewing Company and everything else. I don't think she knows what Twitter is.
That's not fair.
I don't believe
that's
that
not
at
fair.
All.
She wanted a Boom Sauce shirt.
All I know is the young ladies are really into Boom Sauce. What, they love their Boom Sauce.
I told her that you can fax me a picture of yourself with a T-shirt. Fax
no,
a video.
Mail it. Put a postage stamp on it.
I think they were more of the Mustard and Johnson crowd, yeah.
9 a.m. on Saturday morning, man. You'll love it.
What was the question?
My question was, or it wasn't even a question. It was more of a statement.
Okay.
I am more concerned with the starting pitcher of the Red Sox in game one than I am of their starting pitcher in game two.
I'm with you. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Not that I have great confidence in their starting pitcher in game number two.
I think he's going to pitch okay.
Who?
Price? Yeah. I think he's going to pitch okay.
I actually think he will too.
I think that he is basically it is no room for interpretation. You go back to that start he had in Cleveland, which was horrific. It was just horrific where it took him like an hour to throw each pitch and everything else. But leading into that, there was still that defensiveness about the regular season. I think that I've been okay. I'm paraphrasing. This time the message has been clear. I've done nothing, and it doesn't make a difference. Even I talked to him today, and I said, well, yeah, you know, because I wanted to go through with him if he learned any lessons from each of these postseason starts. So, okay, let's look at the Cleveland one. And, you know, that was a mess. Said, well, how about last year? You pitched well. He's like, that doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. I didn't start that game. Which, to me, I'm like, all right, you get it. And I don't know if he's saying that because he knows the perception out there or if he actually feels that way.
Well, wait a minute. He tells Evan Drellick basically pressure?
What a question.
Pressure in the playoffs?
What a question that is. Do you get nervous?
Well, are you spineless?
Are you spineless?
What a dumb
spineless?
Question.
Like,
what athlete is going to
say,
yeah, I'm going to poop my pants tomorrow when I get out on the mound. Oh, my God, I get so nervous and so scared. I shake.
Who's going to say
yes?
Though, I mean,
well, especially from
Porcello.
What I've noticed is that with this team, the stupidest questions get the best quotes. I'm being completely serious. I'm without naming names or naming questions.
No, name names.
No.
I'm more interested in a
name.
I'm more interested in a question.
Okay, Evan's stupid questions yesterday, but that was easy.
It's a stupid article, too, by the way.
Well,
I mean, pressure in the playoffs?
Why was that stupid?
Basically,
no, it was fine.
Neither
it
of
fine.
Them have won a game as a starter in the postseason.
No, but basically his point was there's – equal pressure in some games in the regular season as there is in the postseason.
That was the gist, basically, the story.
I got to be honest with you. I saw the tweets and I saw the headline. Those weren't stupid. What you just said might have been stupid. So we'll put playing for the
what
time.
What I said? Or
No, what you were describing.
Yes. Yeah, okay. but that wasn't the point of the story.
Okay.
It wasn't just the right, it wasn't
but
like part
of it,
though,
but that was
a little bit of that.
I've always said the headlines are more important than the story.
No, I thought it was a good story. It was a good story. Like, it. I mean, it's an issue that every Red Sox fan is wondering. Do these guys have the
fortitude?
It was a good story in that, yes – you love the quotes, as you said, an angry Rick Porcello. You got Price talking about not being scared, not being nervous. But the thought of a start against the Yankees in July is equal to a start in the playoffs in October is asinine.
But he doesn't really say that. I mean,
he sort of leans towards it, though he does.
To John's point is that when you ask that question, you know you're going to get an angry answer. And that, and we talk about sometimes they say, hey, you know, stupidest questions get the best answers. Well, like for Price, like the most – like those sort of questions are going to get the – the angrier David Price is going to get the better answer.
And it doesn't even have to be angry and just be pointed.
No, I don't even mean angry. Like, I mean, like, breaking out of the cliche.
And by the way, David Price is one person who you could ask – you know, are you weak or something? And he might say, you know what, maybe in the postseason I have been weak and I got to fix that. Like, he's the guy who's always talking about, oh, I can't win in the postseason and this and that. So with him, you really don't know what the answer is going to be.
All right, I got good news.
Ooh.
It is 6:25, and Kirk Minahan has not tweeted as of yet that our show sucks.
That's good.
6:20. We're 25 minutes in. We've got another hour and a half to go. Hopefully we can keep it up.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Exactly. Rob Bradford and John Tomasi from WEEI.com. I'm Greg Dickerson. It's our baseball roundtable here from Jake and Joe's in Waltham on Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to the WEEI Roundtable, broadcasting from Jake and Joe's in Waltham with Greg Dickerson, Rob Bradford, and John Tomasi on WEEI.
100% say we don't need a reliever.
Right. I mean,
because you see the best in yourself.
Right. We're very confident in ourselves out there, and we think that we're going to get the job done more times than not.
Do you have a good bullpen as the Yankees?
Yes.
All right. Good. Do you have the best bullpen in baseball?
Yes.
Good. That's the confidence that we need.
We're there.
What?
We're there.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that comes back to the whole trade deadline thing.
Right.
That is the confidence that we.
No.
We.
That's taken out of context.
How is that taken out of context?
You said
that's the confidence that we.
No. I swear.
As a member of the Boston Red Sox, Rob Bradford.
My life.
Are you on the playoff roster? I didn't see your name.
I have two guys to make five spots. It used to be four spots, but now it's five because I'm in the mix. You got a chance
to be in the ALCS,
It was when I said that, and I know how it looks. Yeah. It was for the show.
You would never catch me, Rob, saying something like that about a professional sports team.
No, I would never do that.
I would never consider myself a member of a team.
Well, in fairness,
never, it
was for the show. This is the confidence we need. Because here's the thing. I hate those interviews a lot of times because they're wishy-washy, right?
Right.
I
said right.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Rob. No, it
can't be 8 o'clock fast enough.
No, you get the athletes and they're wishy-washy. And I was like, oh my goodness, you're being definitive. That was down at Fenway. Matt Barnes came down, whatever. But it was being definitive. In hindsight, what else is he going to say?
Well, I didn't mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, we just spent the last segment ripping Evan Drellick for asking a question that we knew what the answer was going to be.
But I didn't mind.
But once again, the dumbest questions get the best answers.
But it's not even a dumb question.
I didn't mind his answer. I know a lot of people ripped his answer a couple of days later on the air. What the hell else is he supposed to say? He's supposed to come out with supreme confidence.
I mean, he could non-answer.
Who is
he
this?
Could say,
Matt Barnes?
I believe that was us.
That was, for, by the way, before the trade deadline.
Whenever it was. The bullpen sucked then, too.
No, I know. That was the whole point.
You have the best bullpen in baseball?
Terrible.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
But, I mean, is he supposed to say, no, we're not as good. No, we're not the best.
To go back to that, and the guys in the excellent award-winning 2 hours before us talking about all things baseball, all things Red Sox, they brought this up about the bullpen, the trade deadline, all these teams making moves and everything else. To me, one of the biggest missteps that they made was the Tyler Thornburg thing.
The Tyler Thornburg from July 22nd to July 30th, he pitched five times. He was nails. He was awesome. I think he gave up like one hit or something like that. And so Dave Dombrowski is going to the trade deadline and saying, hey, you know what? I think he said it at the press conference.
He did.
Ryan Brazier, he mentioned 50,000 times. And Tyler Thornburg. We got Tyler Thornburg. He's coming off injury. Now look it. Look it. He's good now. This is how it works. And then the minute the trade deadline ended, you were bad again.
Right.
And then, and I believe that was one of the reasons they said, well, we don't need like the Ryan Presleys or the what, you know, the whoever.
John, was it that or was it more that they just didn't have anything to offer? Because we know that the
it definitely was not that.
They would have had stuff.
They absolutely had the pieces to go get somebody because I was trying to find the story, but we wrote about this earlier on the website, just that basically like two-thirds of the guys who got traded at the deadline, relievers, yep, turned out to be good. So Dombrowski's thing, he was very selective about afterwards. Well, you know, the names we were linked to, none of them worked out because Britain was struggling
at that
point. Yeah,
he said that after on September 1st.
Yes.
Basically after the
after they did not get anyone on August 31st. But here's what Dombrowski said on July 31st when he's talking about the trade deadline. We realistically think our bullpen is pretty good. Some of the additions, we think the improvements can come from within. Where's that sound? We need one of those. So when you start looking at players from outside the organization that were available, we think we have comparable players internally in most cases. We have three guys in particular. Tyler Thornburg is throwing the ball extremely well and keeps getting better and better.
There you go.
He is healthy and in a position where we think he's going to continue to get better. And throwing in the mid-90s. Thank you.
Thank you, Eamon.
With a good curveball and changeup. Really, it's hard to find a guy better than that at this
point.
There
you go. There you go. I'm wrong about a lot of things, but I was right about that
one. No, you nailed that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, so the one guy that they went on the record.
I mean, it was Brazier.
No. But the guy that they said, there was only one guy that we were going after that we felt would have been an upgrade, which would have been, by the way, a disaster, Kelvin Herrera.
Well, he got hurt, so it's
hard to say. Right. He had a shoulder thing right after, then he hurts his ankle or something. Yeah. So they said there was only one guy we went after. My whole thing, which I didn't get, they were only really going after rentals. The thing that I didn't get was why not go after the Brad Hands, the what's the guy from Texas? Keona Keller.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why not go after these guys who have years on their contract? Because guess what? You're going to need someone next year, too, when Craig Kimbrell walks. And I didn't – if you have to give up the Michael Chavises of the world or whoever, you are going to need that position because I can't imagine that Craig Kimbrell is going to be back next year.
And imagine if you get into the postseason – you have a team that can win it all, and you end up not because you were one reliever short in a year when literally 20 to 30 relievers got moved at the deadline.
Well, to me, it's...
And you weren't in on any of them.
To me, it's...
Any one of those guys could have made a difference. And the guy you traded, by the way, to the Angels, Ty Buttrey, ended up being okay in Los Angeles. So that was somebody who maybe, when you were talking internally, maybe he could have been an option.
It's the height of stupidity to me that you would say, okay, Tyler Thornburg, a guy who's been injured for the better part of the last 2 years, I'm going to trust him because of what I've seen over the course of the last 10 days to 2 weeks. That makes no sense.
But
none.
The way they were looking at it, it took him forever to come back.
It
took him forever to come back. And then there, like, he comes back. This was supposed to be the natural progression of things. And so, all right, in some cases it is, where I think he came back in early July. He was inconsistent. He was up and down. I think he had some rehab assignments in June. Fine. All right. You think he's hit his stride and it's going to be all good from then on in. But I think to your guy's point, you can't – when you have a team this good, you can't not have some sort of fail-safe where they're –
Well, it's not like the rest of the bullpen was good
either. No. And it's like the Brad Zieglers of the world, you know, Addison Reed of the world. And as it turned out, as John pointed out in his article, there were guys who – people traded for. Yeah, there were guys who didn't work out, but there were guys who people traded for.
Johnny Venters. I mean, there's a lot of guys who got moved who didn't require a mint to get them.
Ryan Presley. Ryan Presley is when they faced the Houston Astros, and I'm not going to mention Osuna because, you know, of his deal. But Ryan Presley was a guy who has been the best reliever who was traded. You could have gotten him, and when they faced, if they faced the Houston Astros, that's going to be a painful thing to face that guy.
Yeah, and Just to put a finer point on that, 23 innings, 0.77 ERA, 32 strikeouts with the Astros since that deal from Minnesota.
Yeah.
So if they fail in this next series, if they lose to Oakland or New York, and we'll talk about that game in a few minutes, is it mostly on Dombrowski?
Well, yeah, if the bullpen
Yeah, if they lose because of the bullpen, yes, then it is that is on the front office. Well,
what if it's a combination? What if it's a combination of sales, sales hurt, Price fails again,
well, I mean,
and the bullpen
I mean,
sucks
and I've
again.
Thought a lot about that. Like there's a very real possibility you could have the starters not do well.
Right.
And if that happens, what do you do? Well, it is what it is. And people don't want to hear that, but you went out and you got Chris Sale, right? This is the best guy that you could have gotten. You went out and paid the money for David Price. At the time, it was the best guy. Did they mess up by not getting John Lester? Of course they did. It was one of the worst decisions they made in a long, long time. But they went out and got these guys. These guys are okay, and then, boom, the postseason doesn't work out. I don't know how you fix that. What do you do? What do you say, we're going to target this guy who's just okay in the regular season, but he's nails in the postseason. That's not really how it works. You get the best pitcher you can find, and you hope for the best, right?
No, I had no problem.
I mean, did you have a problem when they got David Price?
No.
Right.
No, not at all. It was great. I didn't know that it was going to be this much of a, you know, puss. I didn't think it was going to be this much of a pain in the ass and was going to struggle like he did the first 2 years of his Red Sox career.
But you just asked the question, like, so who do you blame in that respect? When Chris Sale goes out and he doesn't do well. Yeah, Chris Sale's skinny. He wears down. He might be hurt right now. But still, that was the guy to get. Now the bullpen is a completely different story.
So there's
no
blame to go around at all.
I think if they fail and the bullpen obviously is a part of the problem, that Dombrowski should be put in the crosshairs. No question about it. But other than that, I mean, he gutted the farm system. If you want to rip Dombrowski for 2 or 3 years down the road, then fine. But he gutted the farm system to put this team that won 108 wins out there. The problem with that is that you did all of that, and everyone's happy about all that. But to your point, Ryan Presley isn't on this team.
Yeah, and I'm just looking through some of the guys. You know, Brad Brock got traded from the Orioles. I know he wasn't having a tremendous season in Baltimore. He got traded, I think, for international bonus money. That's what the Orioles were gathering up. And he was great. Sub-2 ERA in Atlanta. Venters goes back to Atlanta from the Rays. He was good. You can go down. Jesse Chavez from the Cubs, the Rangers to the Cubs. There were a number of guys who would not have qualified as big headline acquisitions who have been effective. And you could have acquired
I'll give you another one, which I have a problem with how they approached it. You have two guys, and you have this kid, Durbin Feldman, who they drafted this year in the third round. Everybody said this is the one guy in the entire draft, not the Red Sox draft, the entire draft that has the best chance of going from college to actually play in the major leagues this year. Everyone knew that. They didn't do that. They never tried to do that, never talked about doing that. Be more aggressive with that kid. You did it a couple years. Well, you did it with Chris Sale when he came up, Brandon Finnegan a couple years, and with the Royals, he pitched in the postseason. When you figure out that you're not going to get any more additional help from the outside, then be aggressive with a kid like that. And if it doesn't work out in September, then fine. But to not give it a whirl, I have a problem with it.
Yeah, especially you could have ended up with a Finnegan or something like that. Somebody who I think went to the same college, right?
Yes,
and TCU. And ended up helping Kansas City in the postseason straight out of college.
All right. No more minor league talk. No more reliever talk. I want to get back.
This is what you should know.
Well, I know.
I want you to be educated heading into your big shift on Saturday with Evan.
I appreciate that. Thank you. But I also want to entertain the public out there, too.
People,
don't you know we're going to go up against the Bruins-Capitals game, for God's sake?
Oh, really? No one told me that.
Yes.
No one told me that.
It's opening night for the Bruins Club. We got to bring our best, hardest stuff.
When does the actual Bruins season start?
Tonight.
December.
Oh, it does?
Officially, it starts at 7:30.
I'm not a hockey guy.
You're not at all?
No.
You didn't know that hockey was starting tonight?
You know what I like is when hockey people yell at you that nothing is better than the end of the hockey playoffs.
Playoffs are the greatest.
Playoff hockey is the best
thing in the world. Good. It is
here's my Bruins take. I listened to Dale for a little bit today, earlier, not this shift, earlier.
He was talking hockey during the baseball
roundtable
thing here?
That's the itch where it's
scratching. He just couldn't stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like me wanting to talk NBA.
He was rattling off more names which I, number one, had no hope of pronouncing.
Danton Heinen?
I was just throwing Danton
Heinen out there.
He threw a Heinen out there. But he was throwing out more names. This Bruins team leads my lifetime in the most names on opening night, which I have no clue who they are.
That's but bogus. Do you typically know who Bruins players are?
Yes, I do.
I don't see you as a huge show. I don't see you wearing the
Randy Barrett's jersey.
Well, I was going to say Rosie Rozichka jersey up in section 304.
No, are you kidding me? Adam Oates?
Sergei Samsonov?
Oatsy?
That's my era.
Here's a little behind the scenes, the radio move for the hockey conversation, which I'm sure you know very, very well. Yeah, are you a hockey guy in all seriousness?
Yeah. I like hockey. I like my puck.
I don't trust the shoulder.
I like my puck.
All right.
It's no basketball.
You grab the one talking point, and you pivot everything to it. Like, for instance, the Bruins' third-line center.
No.
Is it going to be a problem? Well, it doesn't really matter if the goalie doesn't stand on his head.
Well, I'll tell you this. Speaking of the goalie, anybody can win the Stanley Cup if you have a hot goalie.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, you're not going to win if you don't score, John.
Every conversation that I've had on, you know, when I was on with Dale and Keith, if we were talking hockey, I would pivot to Tuukka.
Yeah, that's
Tuukka's
what you do.
Tuukka's overrated.
That's
Tuukka
what you do.
Tuukka can't win
you
in the postseason.
You pivot to Tuukka, or is Chara finally going to show his age?
Or in the days of old, it used to be about the coach. Bruce Cassidy, no, you can't complain about him. It always went back to the coach. I want to go back to Chris Sale for a second. I want to play this game, John. Let's say that he does struggle tomorrow and that he doesn't make it through five innings. There's an issue somewhere, somehow. The fastball isn't at 96, 97. How much thought do you give to not giving him an extension in the offseason?
I'm already on record on this one.
Talk about scratching where you itch.
No way I extend Chris Sale.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm right there with you.
Like you.
How can you trust him to be healthy?
You let him. You certainly let him play the deal out. Because the last 2 years he's in. Been either injured or ineffective or both at the end of the season, and he has a track record. We know what his August, September / October numbers are. They get worse.
Is he 28 or 29?
He's 30.
Is he 30?
No, he's 29 now.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, but
29.
Yeah, that's
what I'm talking about right now.
So he'll be 30 when he hits free agency. All of those numbers about 30-year-old pitchers. The cautionary tale known as David Price. Sorry, I walk away.
Rob?
Yeah, I do too. And I think you have to. You're going to have some uncomfortable decisions, and you're going to – I really, honestly, I don't know how they do this in the next couple of years. I don't. Because you have Kimbrel, you don't sign him, right? We agree with that.
Yep, yes.
Because it's just some team is going to give him a five-year deal or something along those lines. You have Sale up next year, and I think you're right. What it's going to cost, it's just going to – you're going to break down. Porcello's up too, and you can say what you want about Porcello, but he's a guy that he's a decent third starter. Then you got Mookie. Then you got Xander. Then you got, you know, these other guys. And Mookie, I think that you are and I are agreement. I don't think less than 50% chance he re-signs here.
Yeah, I mean, I look at Mookie as somebody at the very least. Anybody who goes year to year in arbitration willingly, you're saying, I'm getting to free agency. And if you want to step up and sign me, good luck.
All right, we're at Jake and Joe's in Waltham. Great place to
watch
baseball playoffs. TVs all over the place. Fantastic food, including the turkey tips that Rob Bradford is about to dive into. We weren't going to take a break and go to commercial, but Rob's food is sitting here.
Yeah.
And Rob says, I must eat. I need my sustenance right now.
My washboard abs need to feed themselves.
That is Awaken 180 approved.
It sure is.
John Tomasi, Rob Bradford from WEEI.com. We'll take you right up until 8 o'clock here on our baseball roundtable. Then at 8, it is the play-in game, basically, for the NLDS, for the wild card game. It is the Oakland A's against the New York Yankees. Winner of that game plays the Red Sox on Friday. We'll talk about tonight's game and the potential facing one of those two teams coming up this weekend. Tomasi, Bradford, Dickerson, live from Jake and Joe's in Waltham on Sports Radio WEEI.
They don't know if a puck is stuffed or puffed.
Dale S. Arnold.
Let's get you back to the WEEI Roundtable. Broadcasting from Jake and Joe's in Waltham with Greg Dickerson, Rob Bradford, and John Tomasi on WEEI.
Here's the 2-1 to Benintendi. Swung on and chopped up the middle and through. Base hit. Here comes Renda. He scores. Ball game over. Boston wins.
Back at Jake and Joe's in Waltham, baseball roundtable until 8 o'clock. Then it's Yankees and Red Sox.
Why on your phone do you have, like, a countdown?
Where?
It's a counting down. Like, it's counting down, and then it's going to pop up in celebration.
When I get out of here?
Yes, exactly.
And leave you?
Yes. By the way, that clip, the biggest takeaway of that clip with John Sterling, Tony Renda. Tony Renda, my prediction at the time was Tony Renda will have more World Series rings than he will at bats this year.
More World Series rings than at bats?
Yeah, Tony Renda was
one
a guy.
Nothing.
Like, 1-0.
He has the pinch-running game-winning run, and that was it.
And which was the
fascinating. Why did you write that article tonight,
Rob? Well, it's good. People want to know that. Why are you poo-pooing? I can't bring up Durbin Feldman. I can't bring up Tony Renda.
Well, no, you can.
Those are ratings gold.
My suggestion is this is you go over and talk to Jerry and say, Jerry, I've got a great idea for the morning show. I want to talk about Danton Heinen. I want to talk about who? Tony Feldman? What's his name again?
Tony Feldman.
Tony who? What?
Durbin Feldman.
Durbin Feldman. And who's the third guy?
Tony Renda.
Tony Renda.
Otherwise known as the Big Three.
Say, hey, listen, you don't need Mutt. You don't need Tomasi. No. Have me in on Friday, and I'll talk about those three things.
Are you in
on
Friday?
That's rating goal. I am not in on Friday.
What? What's going on? What?
Well, I'm here tonight. They didn't ask me to do Friday, so I'm not in Friday.
What?
What do you mean, what?
I thought you were a Friday guy.
No. Nobody asked me.
Okay. Well, the night's still young.
I'm very confused.
Knowing this place?
No, it's not confusing. I just asked Greg Dickerson if he's going on the morning show on Friday.
Well, but knowing this place, the screwed up place that this is, not talking about Jake and Joe's, talking about EEI, there is a very good possibility
that a Marconi suggests whatever you're about to say is a lie.
I don't know if you've ever heard of a Mr. Marconi.
I don't know if you've ever heard of the Bronx Zoo.
Brad
won the World Series
twice in the 70s.
What are you doing
with your one day with the Marconi?
Oh,
how
my goodness. I can only think of one thing.
Are you going to sleep with it?
I'm filling it with boom sauce and drinking
it. I was just going to say you're going to fill it with a mix of 5-hour energy and boom sauce.
But will the missus be upset that you're going to kick her to the couch so that you can sleep with the Marconi?
No, she's.
I don't mean in the biblical sense. I just mean
she's usually happy every time I kick her to the couch and sleep with a trophy.
I'm just looking over here, by the way.
Oh, I said you got to go through the wall of management before you leave here.
Look at the threesome over there. You got Ordway, you got Callahan, you got Zambrano.
Intercom.
What do you think that discussion is like? What do you think those three brainiacs are discussing and thinking about?
The
Marconi was my. It was me.
I don't know if you know this. This is my fourth Marconi.
Jason Wolf never got a Marconi as a PD.
So
Jerry's saying, Tomasi's going to come at me tomorrow. You got to be ready.
And Ordway's saying,
what should I say?
They gave us the Marconi after I went back to afternoon drive. That was the thing. It was all me.
Before I came over here, this luxurious place, this great place, by the way, best turkey tips I can honestly say
ever.
I've ever had.
Wow.
I was over at Starbucks and about 5:30.
It's an unusual place for you.
Yes. And,
first time ever?
Ever.
Okay.
Venti Emperor's Cloud. And I had to go on, speaking of Marconi, I had to go on with Pete Shepard. I called in Pete Shepard's show down in Florida.
Is Chris Curtis aware of this? Was he made aware?
He doesn't need to know that.
Well, Curtis, I know you're listening somewhere. Pull up that audio for tomorrow morning, please.
It's fine. It'll be fine. So, but the first thing Pete goes.
How many 3-minute questions.
There was a few.
Rob,
but he starts out of the gate. Out of the gate, what do you think he said?
Marconi, congratulations.
Yes, I want to say, first of all, I want to
congratulate you. But there are some guys that the guy who
we play the audio file, sinkingship.com, he has on YouTube, right?
Yeah,
So anyway, what would be your response to Pete Shepard saying, hey, congratulations, Greg Dickerson, John Tomasi on the Marconi. What would be your response?
Well,
it was
thanks,
all
but
me.
I didn't really have anything to do.
Well, that would be false.
But it's a great honor for the station. Thank you, Pete. And
that's a boring
we
answer.
Miss you.
That's a boring answer. No wonder you're on the afternoon with David Trellick.
You sound like a freaking first grader coming in from recess.
I would say it was all me.
Okay.
I would say you're welcome.
I was tempted to do that, but I said, Pete, the first time I heard the word Marconi was when you were winning it back at our station. Talk about a good answer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was good.
He must have loved
that. Oh, my goodness.
Did his show or station, did they win any Marconi?
I don't know. Why?
You know, I'm just wondering. I'm just asking the question. Why are you acting so snippy to me? I just asked if he stays.
Because this is where we're. There hasn't been a good fight at this round table yet. I thought that we were supposed to fight. I was in Houston last year in the press box listening on the app with the throwdown that was going on.
That was some of the best and, at the same time, most uncomfortable radio I've ever heard in my lifetime.
There was like a Larry David element to it.
Yes.
We were just like, oh, God, I can't keep listening to this, but I can't stop.
Were you here for it?
I got in at the end of it.
Oh, okay.
And it was
it even better in person?
This is not a Larry David quote, but it's a show that he worked on. It was real, and it was
spectacular. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. There was
That was Minahan and Holly, right?
And Holly
and a little bit of Dale.
Went at it for more than an hour, right? I mean, it was crazy. It
the whole
into
hour.
The next segment.
I forget. What was the genesis of the – I mean, I know, you know, Kirk used to crap all over Holly, but was there
– I think Holly –
What was the one specific thing that you do? Oh, hell yeah. For old time's sake, Eamon, you know, it was played last year, the one-year anniversary. What do we got?
These people who are saying Adam Jones made it up are crazy. I can still love my city – and not love some of the comments that are real, real close. They're real, 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 real close up against the line. If there's a racial line, you're
all
up
right,
against
I got
it.
Yeah,
that's where it went. Okay.
Yeah, that's where it went. Yeah. And so
they were talking about Adam Jones. Can he play center field or can he play center
right.
field? I don't know. Yeah.
Will he be traded from
will
the Orioles?
Traded,
or will he not be?
More to the point, it was not so much about that. It became very personal.
I want to thank Kirk Minahan.
Yeah. Yes. So anyway, you're probably, if you're tuning in tonight hoping for a repeat of that,
you're not going to get it. I'm trying.
You're not going to get that out of me.
People aren't going to believe it.
Oh, really?
They're not going to believe that you and I would get
Did we ever get into it? I don't think we ever got into it on the old Comcast show. I obviously got into it with Felger.
You were getting into it with Felger.
Yeah. Yes. I do remember shows.
I tried to stoke it up
I do remember shows where you were on with Felger and I. And you were, I remember thinking, wow, Greg really must be uncomfortable right now.
Oh, God, no. I love it. Uncomfortable.
Well,
I
uncomfortable, like, by, despite I, not saying anything.
No. You know what I did think?
Yeah.
I felt badly for you. I actually felt bad.
Yeah, because I was, I
because
didn't handle
Felger
that.
Was
well.
Just, Felger didn't know when he was just attack.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
And I was always said this, and I took it way too serious back then. Because I would go in with my talking points of your.
Yeah,
your
but why
your,
did you your, let him get?
No,
you?
I know. Just hold on.
You?
Let me talk, or I'll fight you.
Oh.
I was.
Shut up, Rob.
You're a poor man's. What's the guy?
Mark James?
No. You're a poor man. Who's the national guy? Skip Bayless. You're a poor man, Skip Bayless. Blah blah blah. And I would be like, I nailed that. And then he would get the last word in, go to break, and then talk about it for 4 hours the next day. It was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you're not winning that.
No.
But my favorite moments back then doing that show, you'd say something to him off, you'd say, hey, listen. you know, I was talking to Danny on our last trip, and he was pissed at Rondo. He was talking to Rondo about, you know, not passing the ball and that he was going to trade him. Don't say anything about it. And we come back from break. Hey, you were just talking about Rondo, and Danny said that he was going to trade him, and he's pissed at him. How did that all happen?
Well, you remember the
like, oh,
that
my
doesn't God. Happen here at our place.
The one that I will always remember, and the Big Show used it for time and time again, the sound of it was we did Moose, the cameraman, yeah. Bill Messina and I, we did this interview with Josh Beckett, like 45-minute interview. We were fishing out in the back of his condo.
Remember
right?
the music?
So it took a month for them to produce this whole way. And so we're going to play that interview. Well, we're like, that's great. He was great. We got this exclusive and everything else. And then they come back, and you can see everyone giggling. And then they played the music, and then they made fun of it. And I'm like, oh, my. Yeah.
That's quality,
right? Yeah, not good.
I teased before that we've got Yankees and A's on the station tonight at 8 o'clock. Winner moves on, plays the Red Sox in the ALDS game, number one on Friday. Listen, we all want the Yankees to win because it's a good start.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
From a
I do. He doesn't like going to New York.
I don't like going to New
He's
York.
He's a weirdo.
Oh,
He'd
I hate New York,
rather go to
too.
Oakland than New York.
Well, from a storyline perspective,
I don't care
you don't
about storyline.
You don't. You only care about yourself.
You can always find the storyline. And first of all,
you can't find a Yankee. You cannot find a storyline between the Red Sox and the A's like you can with the Red Sox and the Yankees. Ow.
How?
Because you just robbed MF Bradford. Yeah,
let me put it this way.
You have to wait and see.
You can't make an interesting story between the Red Sox
and
the
Yankees. Well, that's not true.
It's
totally
you
not
know
true.
What? It's easier. It's my experience that it's easier to do in those series than is Yankees. Because in Yankees, it's just a mess. It's too crowded. It's too congested. The players are hiding a whole lot more. All of it. And that's why as John said, I'm just sick of New York. You can have your storylines, your New York storylines, fine. I'm in the minority, fine. Fine. We can argue about it for another hour.
Okay, that's exactly what we're going to do. 1 hour down, one more hour to go here at Jake and Joe's in Waltham. The Twins from the WEEI.com site, John Tomasi to my right, Rob Bradford to my left. I'm Greg Dickerson. Jake and Joe's in Waltham. One more hour to go. It's our baseball roundtable here on Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.